Good morning. I appreciate so much Pastor Kurt asking me to fill the pulpit for him. It's such a responsibility, and I'm humbled, really humbled, to have a man like him who knows God's word and then to ask me. But we do our best, right? Probably the 2 minutes after he asked me to fill the pulpit, I started working on my message. And that was about a month ago. And got the message all done. I was going to do it on 1 Corinthians, on temptation. And many of you know that I've probably been up here maybe 8 or 10 times, and probably 9 out of the 10 times it was on evangelism. Because evangelism is close to my heart. I think it's something that is missing in many churches. And I just feel as though that God has given me the office of evangelism to help people, train them, to teach them, and to encourage them to find souls for Jesus Christ. So my wife asked me, she says, what are you going to do your message on? And I said, temptation. And she looked at me, and she said, well, if Billy Graham came to our church, what would he preach on? I said, probably evangelism. She goes, think about it. So I'm going to be preaching on evangelism today. Changed my message totally around, and like I say, it's close to my heart. It's needed. And I'll try getting through this quickly because I know you have masks on and it's not comfortable. And I know it gets hot and your glasses get fogged up and everything else. So just bear with me and let's look into God's Word. Dr. M.R. DeHaan. Many of you know him. In fact, you had books downstairs in the library by Dr. DeHaan. There were books such as the book of Galatians. He did a book on that. He did one on Corinthians. He did one on Revelations. He was the one who started Bible radio broadcast back in, long time ago, 1930s, I think it was. He died in 1965. And also, he is the person who is responsible for our daily bread. And our daily bread is, you can still get that today in the back of the church. Well, I was teaching a class in Sunday school on Galatians, and they were giving some of the books away from the library, and there was Dr. DeHaan book on Galatians. I went, oh, this is great. I'm teaching that. So I grabbed the book and took it home, and I started reading it. And the man captivated me. For the first time in my life, I understood really what the book of Galatians was all about. So I thought, in the back of the book, he had a whole list of what he did, and one of them was Revelations. So I had my wife send for that book. For the first time in my life, I started understanding really what Revelations was about. He is kind of a general writer, so he shows the whole picture. And he believed that the 7 churches in Revelations was actually a timeline of the church that's on earth right now. So the first book, or the first letter to the church of Ephesus, was the time when the apostles were in the book of Acts and when they were preaching the gospel. And then as he went along, you could tell we got into the Dark Ages, and then we got into Enlightenment, the Church of Philadelphia, and it started making all sense to me. And I thought, is this true? Now, not a lot of people believe that, but the more and more I looked at it, the more and more I could see that this possibility could be a timeline for the church in America. Well, at the end, or in the world, I should say, and the last letter we know in Revelations is the Church of Laodicea, the church that has been got to the point where they become lukewarm. And it got to the point where Jesus said, if you don't repent, I will spit you out of my mouth. And it just reminded me of the church in America today. The lukewarmness and where we're at. Because the next chapter in Revelation is Revelation chapter 4, and it talks about heaven and what it's going to be like, and then Jesus opening the seals. So I thought, wow, we're going to be there because the rapture is going to happen. So it is a strong possibility that we are in the era right now of the Church of Laodicea, a watered down gospel, a prosperity gospel, a gospel where God loves you, come on in, and there's no repentance. And we see that more and more today in our churches. So, I'm going to be doing, I'm going to be going through the importance of evangelism in our life. We have this COVID-19, and I'm looking at masks all around the church. And what an opportunity, brethren, that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ to share Christ with people that are scared. People that do not have a clue what's going to happen to them when they die. We have a great, great opportunity if we would just speak forth the message. For 38 years, I worked in a chemical plant here in Sheboygan. And one thing that I had to do is I had to wear steel-tipped shoes. And I hated it. But I knew steel-tipped shoes protected my feet, and many times they did. So I'm going to ask you this morning to put on your steel-tipped shoes and allow the Holy Spirit to step on your toes as He did me as I was going through this. Because, brethren, we have an awesome responsibility. An awesome responsibility to get this gospel out. It's our time. This is our time. What does Jesus require from those who want to be His disciples? If you haven't gotten an outline, I had outlines in the back. And if you didn't get one, please raise your hand. And the ushers will hand one out to you. The whole outline is there in front of you. I label this outline, Our Utmost for His Highest. Naturally, a book by Oswald Chambers is My Utmost for His Highest. It's a book that I have next to my rocker, and I read it all the time. And I believe that Jesus deserves our utmost, because definitely He is the highest. We're going to be going through Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 39. It's absolutely amazing what was read this morning in Luke, because I think you're going to hear some familiar verses. I didn't have a clue the verses that were going to be read by Jason. This is very interesting. I think the Lord really wants us to know this. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before the governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my namesake, but the one who endures till the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemy will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your inerrant word. And this written so long ago in another culture and another time. But Lord, it still speaks to us today in 2020. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would truly be the preacher and teacher this morning. I would ask, Holy Spirit, that you would illumine the words that you have given to me to the hearts and minds of those who are listening this morning. Holy Spirit, do what it takes in our life to be truly disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. If you look at your outline, like I say, I've labeled this our utmost for his height. And here's a question for you. What is the best way to show your love for Jesus? Answer is at the bottom of the page. By sharing the greatest message ever told about the greatest person who has ever lived, about the greatest offer ever given. We're going to be looking at five different demands of Jesus. Jesus demands total obedience. Jesus demands total dedication. Jesus demands total commitment. Jesus demands total self-denial. And Jesus demands total surrender. What I just read from the Word of God is not exactly the modern message of the gospel that you hear today. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. He does have a wonderful plan, but it's not going to be smooth all the time. Sometimes it will be, but most of the time it will not. When you mention the word Jesus Christ, the gates of hell shudder. Just to let you know that when I changed my message last night, I don't think I got an hour of sleep. I could not get to sleep. And I know the reason for that was because Satan does not want us to be soul winners. That's the last thing that he wants. He wants us to be comfortable. He wants us just to have a great life and not say anything to anybody about Jesus Christ. Because the minute we start sharing the gospel with others, you will see Satan work in your life and in your family to the utmost. Happens every time. But Jesus tells us that the gates of hell will not prevail. We don't have to worry that he's with us no matter wherever we go. Let's look first of all at Jesus demands total obedience. Verses 27 and 28 of that reading, "What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." The habit of Jewish rabbis at that time were to whisper the teaching many times into an interpreter's ear. And the reason that they did that was a way that they could remain humble, so people wouldn't look at them as having spiritual pride. But I believe that Jesus is saying here, do not cover up your relationship with me. Remember, he's talking to his disciples. Do not cover up your relationship with me, but speak out bravely the message that I gave to you. Now, if we go back earlier in that chapter, we're going to find out that Jesus sent out his disciples, and he told them to give them, and he told them only to go to the children of Israel, the Jews, and give them this message, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And why? Because the Jews were God's chosen people. They had the Old Testament. They had the law. They knew it all, but they weren't keeping it. They tried, but they couldn't do it. And in the whole Old Testament, it continually showed them that the Messiah was coming. Well, Jesus told his disciples, the message you are to give to them is to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Messiah has arrived. Believe it. Turn and believe what the Old Testament is telling you. Now, when Paul got saved, he started going to the Gentiles, and if you go back in the book of Acts, his message to the Gentiles was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Well, why? It seems like two different messages, but they weren't. They were the same. You see, the Gentiles were considered dogs. They were considered, they weren't God's chosen people. They didn't know the law. They didn't know anything. And their job is to repent and believe that this Jesus who came, died for their personal sins, and rose from the grave and paid the penalty for their sins. And that's one of the reasons why Paul, in the book of Acts, was always trying to be killed by the Jews, because the Jews were saying he is preaching a gospel of you don't have to do any works. It's totally free. And Paul was saying, yeah, well, that is the gospel. That is true. And if you go through the book of Acts, Paul goes to the apostles in Jerusalem, and they all determine that, yep, the Gentiles can get saved because God is working in their life now. Well, what's the message for us today? What's the message for us today? These are verses that you have seen over and over again. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And again, we see in Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. What we see in Romans 10, verses 14 and 17. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. And again, okay, we got both of those in. Our job is to go. Our job is to go and preach the gospel to those who need to hear. This church is just a special jewel in Sheboygan because this church truly loves the Word of God. There is no doubt the Word of God in this church is number one. And because of that, we can't help but keep that to ourselves. What can happen so easily is we can continue to grow and grow and grow spiritually, which we are supposed to do, but then we are to take that and share it with others so they can come to know Jesus and they can get saved as well. But there's many, many times that we totally forget about that. We forget about going. How many of our neighbors have we lived next to for years and years and years? And we may do good things for them, but when's the last time that you shared Jesus with them? Especially during this time now of great fear. We have a great opportunity. If we don't start doing that, folks, the consequences for them are devastating. They are devastating. Take a look once. There isn't too often that you hear a message on hell. Very rare that you'll hear a message on hell. But brethren, the reality of heaven and the reality of hell is the same. Heaven is for those who understand that Jesus Christ paid for their personal sins and that are born again, who accepted that free gift for themselves. But unfortunately, for the people who have never heard, for the people who have rejected, there's a place called hell. And let's talk about that just a little bit. It's maybe a little bit uncomfortable, but I think sometimes we need a reality check. Because we have people in our lives that need to hear. They need to hear. There's three words that translated hell. The first one is Gehenna, and it actually means the place of punishment. And you'll find that in Matthew 5, 22 and 29. We're not going to be turning there, but if you might want to write that down. Another word that is translated hell is Hades, the abode of the dead, and you'll find that in Luke 16:23. I didn't know, Jason, that you had these up. Good. I'm glad you did. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. Hades, he was in torment. And that's also in the Greek. And Sheol is in the Hebrew. And we see that in Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall return to Sheol, all the nations that forget God. The Bible refers to the fate of the unsaved in fearful words such as this: shame and everlasting contempt. You'll see that in Daniel 12:2. Everlasting punishment. Matthew 25:46. Weeping and a gnashing of teeth, Matthew 24:51. Fire unquenchable, Luke 3:17. Indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, Romans 2:8-9. Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Eternal fire, the blackness of darkness forever, Jude 7 and verse 13. I don't think we'd wish that on anybody. We got a job to do, folks. This is reality. This is reality. Revelations 14, 10 and 11 say, "And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. The smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they will have no rest day and night." Charles Spurgeon said this: "Sin and hell are married unless repentance proclaims the divorce." Sin and hell are married unless repentance proclaims the divorce. There are devastating consequences for people who do not know Jesus Christ. And then Jesus demands total dedication. Look at verses 32 and 33. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Why does Jesus demand a total dedication? Because he's the only way. Jesus Christ is the only way. There is no other way to heaven. Let's look at some verses that you, many of you, memorized and know. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 10:7-10. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. John 8:24. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This verse is actually the heart of the gospel. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the only way. Every other religion is wrong. We got to tell them. They think what they're doing is correct. Pray that God will give us a desire in our heart to share Jesus with somebody who needs to know. Jesus demands total dedication because there is no other option. None. What does Matthew 7:13 and 14 say? Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. There is the broad way of works. That's every other religion. Christianity is the only narrow way, and it's by faith and faith alone. It's by God's grace. Jesus demands a total dedication to this truth. Look again at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Do we have that one? Okay. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, you'll find that we are God's ambassadors. It says we are God's ambassadors, not only Paul, but we are. That's all of us. It takes dedication. A personal dedication starts with a decision. Right now, you may think, well, I'm not a soul winner. Make a decision that I want to be. I want to be a soul winner. To be a soul winner, it's not a gift, it's a proclamation. Many times people believe that there's the gift of evangelism. Now, some believe that. I personally believe there's an office of evangelism. The office of evangelism is one who trains others in order to evangelize. We are all called to share Jesus with others. That's our job. That's what ambassadors do. So it's a personal dedication. And first it starts with a decision on our part. And then it starts with a determination. Be determined to learn how to witness. There are people that don't even know how to share their faith. Be determined to learn how to share your faith with somebody to a point of leading them to Jesus Christ. It takes discipline. We have to have constantly our spiritual antennas up. You know when God is working in a person's life, because they will be open to talk about spiritual things. You can't talk with an individual that the Holy Spirit hasn't been working with first. It happens all the time. All the time. And it takes a devotion to God. That means a loyalty to God. Many of us have dogs. And we look at our pets as loyal companions because they're always by our side. They're always there for us. Well, we need to be loyal to God. We need to be there for Him all the time. We are the ambassadors to get this message out. It's great. Don't get me wrong. Growth, spiritual growth in our own lives are good. But you can't leave out doing something with that spiritual growth. We need to share Jesus with others. Here's a poem that was written by an unknown author. My friend, I stand in judgment now, and I feel that you're somehow to blame. On earth I walked with you day by day, and never did you show the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but never did you tell the story. My knowledge then was very dim. You could have led me safe to Him. Though we live together here on earth, you never told me of the second birth. And now I stand this day condemned because you failed to mention Him. You taught me many things, that's true. I called you friend and I trusted you. But I learn now that it's too late and you could have kept me from this fate. We walked by day and talked by night, and yet you showed me not the light. You let me live and love and die. You knew I'd never live on high. Yes, I called you a friend in life and trusted you throughout joy and strife. And yet, on coming to this dreadful end, I cannot call you my friend. Kind of hits home. You need to know that as I'm going through this, I'm speaking to myself. I do not stand up here saying that I got it all together. We're all in this together, as they say with the COVID. Then look at verses back in Matthew 10. Jesus demands a total commitment to Him. Verses 34 through 37. Look what God's Word says. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Only Jesus Christ could say words like that. Only God in human flesh could speak that way. What did Jesus mean by love? He means a supreme love for Him and for Him alone. A perfect example of that was Peter in Luke chapter 22. We're not going to be going through this whole thing. I'll let you read it on your own. But most of us know about Peter's denial. When Jesus was arrested and He was going to be put on trial, and Peter was in the courtyard and a young servant girl came up and said, "You were with Him," and he totally denied it. And another person said the same thing, and a third person said the same thing, and Peter denied it three times. And he went away and wept bitterly, the Scripture says. How often are we guilty of this? By not saying anything to someone that we should be. Where is the love? We are all guilty of that. I remember a time I was in hospice, and I wasn't dying, but I was a volunteer in hospice because I wanted to share my faith. And I thought, what a perfect place to share my faith with those who are leaving this earth for the last time. I remember going to Memorial Hospital, and they sent me a card in the mail. We didn't have phones then, but they sent me a card saying this such and such a person is in this room. Will you go up and see him? So I remember going up to see him, and I walk into the room, and I just walk normally, and the guy's laying in bed. And I may have even told you this already, but he was laying in bed, and he looked at me, and he goes, "What's it with you?" And I looked at him, I says, "What are you talking about?" He says, "There's just something about you that I can't explain." And I said, "Well, I don't have time right now, but I'll be back in 2 days." I says, "And I'll tell you all about what you see in me." Shouldn't have waited 2 days. When I went up to see him 2 days later, the room was empty. Excuse me. And I said to myself, I will never do that again. Never will I turn away the gift of eternal life somebody. I didn't do it on purpose. But my wife was in a car waiting for me, and we were heading someplace, and I thought I had time. And I didn't. And he's gone. I still live with that today. You see, Jesus demands a supreme love from us. And when we have that supreme love for him, we want to tell people about it. Jesus confronted Peter because of his devotion. And in fact, in the Gospel of John, he records that time. Look at in John, after Peter denied Jesus 3 times, then Jesus confronted Peter, and John wrote it down. He says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." You see, Jesus wanted to make sure that Peter had that supreme love for him. And did God still use Peter? You bet he did. Go over to Acts chapter 2, and you see Peter sharing the gospel in front of 5,000 people where 3,000 souls came to Christ. You see, you have to have a supreme love for Jesus. Otherwise, chances are you'll never share this message. How do you think persecuted saints can deal with torture? They're like you and me. But they have a love for Jesus. I don't know how to explain it. To go through such torture. We need to have that same love for Jesus Christ. Did Peter have a family? Yeah, he had a family, because we are told that Jesus went to his mother-in-law, and his mother-in-law was sick, and Jesus healed his mother-in-law. But yet you don't hear anything about Peter's family. Did he have children? Chances are he did. Most people that get married have children, unless they just physically can't. But you never hear about Peter's family. All you hear is that Peter went, obeyed Jesus Christ. God, I'm sure, it took care of his family. Billy Graham was another one. God called Billy Graham. He traveled worldwide. Did God take care of his family? Look at his family. They're all in ministry. They're all writing books about our Lord. God will take care of your family. Many times we are attached to our family and nobody else matters. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Yeah, we're supposed to love our families naturally, but Jesus demands a supreme love. A supreme love. And that's a total commitment. It's like Farmer John's pig was talking to the chicken. What can we do for Farmer John to show our appreciation for all he has done for us? The pig asked. I don't know, replied the chicken. What do you think? They thought for a minute, then the chicken spoke up. We could serve him a huge thank you breakfast with scrambled eggs and bacon. The pig thought for a moment, and then he said, oh yeah, that's easy for you to say. For you, it's a small sacrifice, but for me, it's a total commitment. Jesus is demanding a total commitment from us. D.L. Moody once heard a preacher say, the world has yet to see what God can do through one man completely committed to him. That night, Moody decided that he wanted to be that man. You know the story about D.L. Moody. Jesus demands total self-denial from us. He demands total self-denial. Look at verse 38. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Paul said it best in Philippians. Look what he said about self-denial. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered loss of all things and have count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Again, in Titus 2:11 through 13 or 14, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training us to renounce the ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possessions who are zealous for good works. You see, as we walk with Jesus, as we deny ourselves, God the Holy Spirit, we start taking on the holiness of Jesus, recognizing Jesus at the center of existence and not ourselves. Self-denial results in sacrifice. It's sacrifice of your time, your energy, your position, your reputation, privileges, comforts for the sake of Christ. Self-denial is giving everything that we have to the Lord. Do we have 1 Corinthians 9? Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run, Emmanuel Bible Church, that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. See, we really don't have a right to share the gospel if our lives aren't right before the Lord, because we're going to be called hypocrites. Our life has to measure up by walking with Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. As you walk with Christ, and as we are the salt of the earth, people will listen. The people that God has chosen for eternal life will listen to us. There were young people that did just that. Here's a young lady who wrote, "Now I have given up everything else. I have found it to be the only way really to know Christ and to experience the mighty power that brought him back to life again, and to find out what it means to suffer and to die with him. So whatever it takes, I will be one who lives in the fresh newness of life of those who are alive from the dead." You know who wrote that? Cassie Barnell. She was 17. She was shot in the head at Columbine High School. Self-denial. She gave it all. Somebody walked up to her and said, "Deny Christ." And she says, "Nope." She lost her life. What a way to give your life for Jesus. Jesus demands self-denial from us, folks. This isn't just something that we play with. This is serious business. When we want Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, there are demands on us, and it's not to work our way to heaven, but it's to show the love that we have for Christ. Who in your life needs to know Jesus Christ right now? Let's look at the last one. Jesus demands total surrender. Verse 39. "Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." You see, surrendering all to Jesus brings purpose to life. And what is that purpose? You'll have the same purpose that Jesus had, to seek and to save that which was lost. When you know that you are living for the Lord Jesus and you are in communion with him, and leading others to Christ, my friends, there is nothing like it. Remember, Ken Nagel was here last week, and he gave an example of a father telling his daughter, "Go clean your room." Do you remember that? And then she came back, and she says, "Dad, I memorized what you said. I should clean my room." He says, "Well, did you clean it?" "No, I just memorized what you told me." So many times we do that with the Word of God. God commands us something. We memorize it. That's great. But are we doing it? And I'm guilty of it. We really need to get serious with the Lord. We are going to have the same purpose as Christ did, and that's souls, when we surrender our life to Jesus Christ. And finally, Jesus said in Matthew 5:13 that we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. We have an evangelism program here every third Tuesday of the month. It's just a small group of men. We really don't hold an accountability, but we encourage others to share their faith. And many times we watch Adrian Rogers preaching on evangelism. And he said this comment. He says, "We are to be separated from sinners, but not isolated from sinners." Many of us don't even have unbelieving friends. We shouldn't be isolated. We should be building relationships in order to share the gospel. A young boy said to his mother, "Mom, will you give me a dollar if I'm good?" And she says, "Why don't you be like your father? He's good for nothing." But you know what? When it comes to being salty Christians, there are some Christians that aren't doing what God's word says. I don't want to say good for nothing, but Adrian Rogers said that. Let me ask you, are you good for nothing when it comes to sharing your faith? I think we all have to start analyzing our walk with the Lord. This COVID thing isn't by accident. God knew this was coming. What an opportunity we have as believers to share the love of Christ, to share, to know that they have an opportunity to know where they're going to go when they die. There are people out there that are scared to death, and we got an answer. Some may not listen. Some may turn their backs to us and call us fools and whatever else. But one person that the Holy Spirit's been working with is going to be able to say, that's interesting because I was just thinking about that the other day. Things are happening with people in our church. There are people in our group now, and I remember one individual, and I won't say names, but one individual wrote letters to all of his brothers sharing the gospel with them because he knew they weren't going to listen anyway. So he wrote them a letter, and he shared the gospel in the letter, and he told them what they needed to do, and he told them that he loved them, and he wanted to see them with him in heaven. And then that young man graduated from a Catholic college. It was before he was saved. You know what he did? He told me this 2 weeks ago. He said, Milo, I got on the phone and I called one of the nuns at the Catholic college because I wanted to share the gospel with her. He said, I talked to her for 45 minutes about the gospel. And she didn't. She didn't do anything because she felt as she was more superior than he was. And he could tell in her speech. But you know what she said to him? She says, we are taught not to take any out-of-state calls. But when I saw your call, for some reason, I just had to take it. Do you think that was of the Lord? You bet it was. There's another gentleman, he said he wanted to share the gospel with his brother-in-law, but his brother-in-law refused to listen. Totally. Didn't want anything to do with it. He says, Lord, if you want me to share the gospel with him, you got to put him literally in my lap. Guess what? His wife was going to take a shower and her brother called and said, I can't talk to you right now. Here, talk to my husband. And gave the phone to her husband and it was on a virtual phone call. So here he had the phone in his lap talking to his brother-in-law. And he shared the whole gospel with him. And his brother-in-law didn't say a word. He listened the whole time. He goes, Milo, I couldn't believe it. God answered my prayer like I never believed it was. And then he says, many times when you share the gospel, it's uncomfortable saying, well, I just wanted to tell you that. He didn't know how to break it off. And he looked out his window, and here was a little fawn stepped up on his deck and lay down on his deck. And his brother-in-law was a big deer hunter, and he took the phone. He says, look at this. So the whole conversation went to the fawn. And it was a great way of breaking off so there wasn't any hard feelings because he was able to share the gospel. I know another person in our group that just was really, really timid with the gospel. And he just said, yeah, I don't know if I could. Well, I just found out that he was at Walmart and a guy was getting out of a car. And he thought, I'd just go over and give him a hand. So he went over, he says, hey, can I help you? He was on oxygen, and a man said, no, I'll get it. And all of a sudden, he said, I started talking about the Lord to him. And I found out that he knew Jesus as Lord and Savior. You should have seen the smile on his face at our group. I got a chance to witness to somebody. It's happening. It's really happening. I'm going to close with this. Jesus said in John 15:5. I don't think you have that. John 15:5. You all know this verse. You've heard it many, many times. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. person who abides with the Lord abides the divine, and he bears much fruit. And fruit can be of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5, but it also, the fruit is souls. When we become born again, when we understand that we can't get to heaven on our own, that we only can rely on the death and the resurrection of our Savior, and we become born again, we have a great responsibility to share that with others. I pray that this message was an encouragement to all of us to remember that we do have an opportunity and we are Christ's ambassadors. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. And I thank you, Jesus, that you demand those who call you, Lord, to walk with you daily. Help us, Lord, to do that. Give us a desire in our heart, Jesus. Many times we have failed, afraid, or whatever the case may be. But, Lord, we want to be your ambassadors. So, Lord, I pray that you would continually fill us with your Spirit, that you would help us to have our spiritual antennas up, continually looking for those people who you have been working with, who need eternal life. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.